It's Thursday, February 28th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 839, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our March GoDaddy special, get GoDaddy hosting for $1 per month for 12 months. Use promo code HOSTDEAL2. GNC is also sponsored in part by DYN. That's Dyn.com. Save 30% at Dyn.com. Use promo code PODCAST30. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you here tonight. I tell you, it's been fun being in Hawaii. Sad I have to leave it so soon. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to Geek News Central, twice weekly tech podcast that covers everything tech by the geek himself here at GNC. I tell you, we got a great show lined up for you tonight, and I got a lot to cover, So we'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But I want to welcome any of you that are brand new to the show. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, get over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out the second column of the website. Then I'll show you links there on how to get subscribed via iTunes or your standard RSS feed. Whatever you're listening to us on Stitcher, on your Roku, on your Boxy, on your Samsung Smart TV, on your Google TV, on your iPad, on your Android tablet, on your phone, whatever it may be, however you're listening or watching, we want to thank you for being here. And of course, thank you for being subscribed. And we want you to get signed up for the newsletter. As well, the newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show. The newsletter has all of the links, and that's really going to get you, basically allows you to follow along or even just check out real quickly all the links that I covered during the show. So definitely get subscribed to the newsletter as well. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome here to the Ahana. Thanks for being subscribed. And of course, the Ahana here in Honolulu, that means family, Ohana. So welcome to the family here. And if you want to reach out to me, it's real easy to do so. You can do so via Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And, of course, again, you can catch us on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung, Smart TV, Google TV. So definitely, if you missed the show, you can catch it over there or via iTunes. There was no video on the last show. We had some challenges. I don't know exactly what was going on. Either the studio wasn't ready or the Mac server was coughing or something was up. But and basically, by the time I got around to deal with it, I said, the heck with it. We'll just have the audio show only for the last show. But I want to give, of course, a warm welcome to our sponsor here, GoDaddy.com. And I tell you, we have, boy, oh boy, I've got two deals for you this month. March specials. Now, one thing that they did was I told the vendor, I said the $2.95 codes have been going like hotcakes. Can you extend that one more month? And they came back to me and said, okay, we're going to extend the $295.com offer one more month, but we're going to change the deal. They can only get one, a limit of one versus a limit of three at $295. So the three at $295 is gone. So you get one for $295. So again, I think this is the last month that they're going to do this. But you guys have been soaking those domains up like crazy. And he dropped a couple of other offers on the table, too. And the one that blew me away was a 35% off code. Now, you guys remember right there at Super Bowl, we had a 45% discount code, went back down to 28. Now they're giving us a 35% off your total order code through the end of the month. That's GO35OFF2 is the code. And then an incredible hosting deal. I've never seen them price it this low. I be honest with you, it can't go any lower. I mean, it just cannot go any lower. This is an incredible deal. And what they're giving you is $1. Yes, 12 months of web hosting for just $1 a month. So that's 12 months of economy web hosting. Again, it's economy, which it really is just incredible price, even off the regular plate, off the regular price. And so you get it for $1 a month. Can it go any lower? I don't know. But obviously, they're having great success with this. And I don't know how they can afford to pay me at you guys coming in at $1, but $1 a month hosting for 12 months, promo code HOSTDEAL2. Now, at the end of that 12 months, it does revert back to the regular price. If I look at the regular price is, well, they don't even show what the regular price is because they've got the on sale link there. The deluxe is $3.99, the premium is $6.99. So still cheap, and if you decide you want to go with the deluxe versus the economy, you can essentially use that 35% off code instead. So two great deals. And my good friends over at GoDaddy, thank you for them coming in and throwing up you some almost too good to refuse type of a deal. So we got a 35% off your total order. That's great for renewals, by the way. $1 off per month, or actually $1 per month for the economy hosting for 12 months, and of course the single $295.com by using Geek295 to grab that code. So, boy, oh boy, what a deal. Anyway, go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes are there. Every code for every occasion. Use them up, grab them up, use them, share them, spread them with your friends, tweet them. It is greatly appreciated here that when you do so. Again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central and putting together such an absolutely incredible deal. And I'm just looking at my account. I'm like, what can I renew now while these deals last? I'm like, oh, my goodness. And saving me a pile of money myself using my own codes. Hey, I do want to share something with you. I had someone was saying the other day, we were in the car and it was quite late because my kids have water polo, and I was listening to what I have on Coast to Coast AM. And what it is it's because we are, really 3 hours behind the West Coast, 5 hours behind the East Coast. Those late night shows on AM are on really early here. So I was listening to George Norrie at Coast to Coast, and he was talking about their coast-to-coast membership thing. And he says something like 15 cents a day or something like that, you can be a coast-to-coast premium member. And I thought, wow, that's cheap. And I did the math on that. And I said, here at Geek News Central, you can become an insider for 6 cents a day. Now, just think about that for a second. I do 8 shows a month for you. And, of course, those are, basically here at twice a week, Monday and Thursday. And then I do Saturday morning techs when I'm home. We're going to do a Saturday morning tech this coming weekend. But if you click on the Become a GNC Insider, for 6 cents a day, you can support the show. That's a deal. Come on, 6 cents a day. Everyone can afford that. So we hope that you'll consider becoming an insider here at Geek News Central. And we're going to start breaking it down that way. And you think about it, wow, that is pretty low. So for 6 cents a day, you can really help the show out a lot. We want to thank those of you that do. So anyway, let me just talk a little bit about what's been going on here. After coming back from Chicago and having met with the team, we have a laundry list, that is just a mile high of things we got to get done. And we've been working on a new site launch for our blueberry.com website. And we're going to be introducing a brand new site design here soon. We're trying to wrap up the content. We got a lot of content that we've moved from another site into this one, and we're basically updating it. And really, all told, I think there's about 100, 150 pages that have to be copy edited, and we just need to make sure they're right before we go. But we've got some exciting stuff coming with a new site launch. And basically, it's going to be two halves, and I'm not going to talk any more than that, or the guys are going to kill me. But I think you're going to like it, and the way we've got it designed, and it's going to be cool. I'm excited about it. So Angelo's working on that. I know the theme's all done. We just got to get the content ready. And this week as well, I've been working on podcast advertising deals. We've had some stuff come in, and I'm working on a deal for a couple of new clients. So boy, I tell you, it's just one thing after the other. And plus, I've been working on trying to find a new host for the Chrome Show. I'd like someone to be able to take that over. And I had received a message via Facebook from someone saying, hey, I was interested in doing it. I have not heard back from that individual. So what I'm going to redo is I'm going to reopen auditions for the Chrome Show. And those of you that have not listened to or watched the Chrome Show episode, it's everything about Chrome, the Chrome browser, the Chrome operating system, the Chrome tablets, you name it. It's all about Chrome. And just basically, I have run out of CPU cycles in order to do that show any decency. So I want to be able to bring on a host that'll take care of that show for a couple of years. So if you're interested in becoming the host of the Chrome Show, let me know. You guys hear that little dog barking? My neighbor's dog, must be the neighbor's not home because he's just going absolutely crazy barking over there, and unusual. They're normally home this time of night, so they must have went out to dinner or something. But here it's a his name's Willow, and I hear him over there. Woof, 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 woof. So what else? So anyway, I'm looking for a host for the Chrome Show. And also, I'm working on a new show that I've been asked to kind of work on and basically put together. And it's going to be a collaborative effort. So if I'm not there, it really is not going to impact it. So getting that site ready. And I'll have more on that in the near future here. But lots going on. I get on an airplane on Saturday and head to the West Coast Saturday night, fly out to the West Coast, and have meetings with clients, a variety of clients, all next week. I'm going to be in 4 or 5 different states. It's going to be kind of crazy. Boom, 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 around a bunch of places. I do plan on having a show both Monday and Thursday night. Everything looks like it's going to be good. Hopefully everything is the studio. I need to go look at the studio, because the portable studio, because when I got back from Texas last time, I didn't even open it up. So I need to go make sure nothing's been damaged or anything. So I'm going to get into that tomorrow. Make sure it's ready to basically roll to the airplane. And that green screen is kind of a pain to move around, because it's I have to carry it with me on the airplane, but I think it just makes the show a lot better than having me being in a hotel room pointing at me with the camera and a bed. It's kind of weird. So anyway, that's the plan. And just 1 week, then I'm home a week, and then gone another week. So it's just like every other week here for a couple of weeks, I'm going to be on the go. And I just got a call late this evening talking about National Associated Broadcasting Show. And a company may be wanting me to come out there and do a gig for them. So maybe we'll be into April, where we're going to be home a week, gone a week, home a week, gone a week, and so forth, racking up some frequent flyer miles. But definitely some things on the move here. Keeping the lights on. Sponsors are keeping the lights on, but also the consulting and everything else I'm doing is really helping out as well in these tough economic times. So let's take care of the last sponsor spot, and then we'll get right into the content. And if any of you are here in Hawaii and you need a minivan, I've got one for sale. My wife still hasn't bought a vehicle, so we're still technically a one-car family. But I do have a Nissan minivan for sale. Let me know if you want it. Make a heck of a deal on it for sure. All right. I've been, one thing we've been focused on with the folks over at Dyn at dyn.com, dyn.com, is we've been talking a lot about their enterprise level services. And they have, a whole host of different services available at all price points. I guys talked to you already about using their dynamic DNS service. And, you know, they've got really four levels on the DNS. They've got remote access, they've got their standard plan, they've got their enterprise light, and then they've got their enterprise or their Dyn ECT, which we've been talking about, managed DNS. And of course, the remote access program starts right at $20. You know, it's inexpensive. You know, dynamic DNS is used to connect remotely to a DVR, a webcam, computer, or many other devices. And then their standard plan is a complete DNS hosting for a single domain. So if you've got a single .com, they've got a nice, easy interface for you starting at $29.95 per year. And then the Enterprise Lite. Enterprise Lite, enterprise level DNS performance and reliability. Basically, this is designed for companies and startups that need maximum reliability, speed, and scalability, starting as low as $30 per month. And of course, you can register a domain through Dyn as well. They have that service available, but we've already talked about where you can save a lot of money on a .com this month. And then, of course, they've got their email services, and they've got the email sending products. And, you know, the email sending products can be as low as $19.95 a year. So that's pretty inexpensive. Their Dyn ECT email delivery Lite is $30 a month, but you can deploy up to 120,000 emails. And for a guy that sends a lot of emails, I'm going to tell you that's really inexpensive for the services that they're providing here. And they've got email receiving products as well, as low as $39.95 a year. So full range of content, I mean, full range of products and services. And Dyn helps their clients, whether it would be with email or with DNS. So definitely check them out over at dyn.com. That's dyn.com. And it's simple. You know, it's get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Simply visit dyn.com. And really, all you got to do is start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com and don't forget that promo code podcast30 at checkout. We want to thank Dyn for being a sponsor here. And I tell you, they're really working with us in a big way. And we're trying to refine everything that we're doing with them and making sure that this is a service that fits your needs. And what I'm looking for is a little feedback. If you guys have comments on the Dyn product line, if you've got questions, concerns, things you want to know, more details, let me know. I'll be able to share that with you in a future show here. But definitely take a few minutes over at dyn.com and check out their products and services. We want to thank them for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, so what we're going to do now is go ahead and switch gears. Let's go ahead and get right into the content. Again, I want to thank all of the folks that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family and supporting the show. It is greatly appreciated. And, it's kind of an interesting year. It's like, my wife is at the table. We're eating dinner tonight, and she says, "Gosh, I can't believe it's already March." And I'm like, "Huh?" You know, it's like, where did January and February go? I mean, really, where did it go? It just like, poof, the magic dragon, it was gone. And I'm just kind of dumbfounded a little bit because, you know, I'm thinking, I still got some tax stuff I got to do. And, you know, my corporate taxes are due in 30 days and my accountant's bearing down on me. It's been nuts. And a little bit more nuts because we don't have two vehicles right now. We're only driving one, which is making a little bit of an impact on my work schedule. But, you know, it is what it is, and you got to do what you got to do. But we're going to get the missus a new car here, or a used car, very shortly. We have to, and have to make some moves. All right, I do want to talk about a big launch tomorrow morning. SpaceX supply ships prep for the launch, loaded with more than 2,300 pounds of equipment, spare parts, and crew supplies. The SpaceX cargo ship is prepped for blastoff. I think it goes at 10:30 Eastern. If all goes well, the ship is going to rocket off and will be headed towards the International Space Station, bringing parts and stuff to the up there. And, you know, they spent a lot of time reconfiguring the station to be ready for the birthing of the Dragon and the Dragon spacecraft. So, really, the Falcon 9 booster is, again, scheduled to take off from the Cape. Again, oh, this is 10:10 a.m. Eastern. So definitely you're going to want to be watching NASA TV tomorrow morning and see how this goes, and look forward to another successful launch by the SpaceX team and the Falcon 9 rocket. But, you know, these commercial launches in the very beginning are, you know, in my opinion, are full of, you know, concern, because, you know, all these rockets are, while they've had a number of launches, you know, they just, that repetition factor needs to get up there a little higher. So we wish SpaceX a successful launch tomorrow morning. All right. Now I want to talk a little bit about Google Glasses. And I was reading some stuff today that just kind of just set me back in my seat a little bit, made me want to consider if I wanted to even get in on the early beta program. Because AT&T has come out with a statement. AT&T plans to charge consumers up to $14.99 for each, now listen to this, for each 250 megs of Google Glass usage. This will be on top of your normal cell phone bill and normal data plan, as well as on top of the additional $15 to $50 a month to enable data usage for Google Glass. So again, this is incredible. To put it in a more easy to understand format, AT&T wants $15 for every few dozen pictures you take, and another $15 for every few minutes of Skype, Netflix, or Hulu you use. You know, that's a half-hour TV show on Netflix could easily cost you a considerable amount of money if you watch it with Google Glass. And, you know, they don't charge you to hook up your Bluetooth headset. They don't charge you when you have the ability to dongle and hook up your, when you're able to hook up your laptop, they don't charge you this big price for usage. So this is what exactly what AT&T has said. If it's using our network, then it's reasonable to expect you to be charged as if it was any other device, such as a tablet or laptop tethered to a phone. We don't expect consumers to take offense at this. If someone plugged into our network now with Google Glasses, they should be expected to use the Data Connect 250 meg gaming plans. Verizon has said nothing. But I'm sorry, AT&T. You have gone beyond greedy. And what they're doing here is they're taking advantage of the consumer. They're saying these people are going to be nuts for these glasses. They got to have data. It's worthless without data. So guess what we can do? If they can spend $1,500 for the Google Glasses, they can afford $25 per 250 megabytes. $15 per 250 megs? I just had to turn in my, send back my LG Optimus G phone that I've been using. So what I did is I went out and I picked up a Samsung Android phone, largely because I want to play Ingress. And another thing too, I want to stay abreast of what's going on with Android. And this is a Virgin Mobile USA phone. I'm not going to be talking on it, so I'm just using data. This is a LTE 4G phone, and the phone itself was a couple $100, so I got a decent phone to start off with, dual core, and it's not a, you know, it's nothing fancy like a S3 or anything like that. I didn't go overboard, but the data plan on this is $35 a month, and I get 2.5 gigs of data transfer on this. Now, I've got a Virgin Mobile MiFi that, as long as you're in 4G and it don't go over 10 gigs in a month, they're good. But I figure I'll never use 2.5 gigs of traffic on this. If I do, I'll connect it up via Wi-Fi. So here you have somebody like Virgin Mobile who's offering 2.5 gigs at $35 a month, plus minutes, plus texting, which I'm not going to be using with this, by the way. And the folks over at AT&T want to charge me $15 for 250 megs. There's something criminally wrong here, folks. There really is. And I don't know about you, but makes me go, And if Verizon comes out with the same type of pricing, Google's in trouble. These Google glasses will not be affordable to be able to be used. Not in the least. So we'll see where this lays. We'll keep you abreast. And can't wait to see what Verizon has to say. But I would imagine there's a few people that are just a little bit irritated with this type of pricing. Now, on top of that, today, a chief financial officer, Irene Estevez, over at Time Warner Cable, made the following statement. She says, "We're in the business of delivering what customers want and to stay a little ahead of what we think they will want." She said when asked about the breakneck internet speeds delivered by Google's Young's Kansas City network, she says, "We don't just see the need to deliver to consumers. We just don't see the need of delivering that to consumers." The article goes on to quote her, and she says, "Residential customers have thus far shown very little interest in Time Warner Cable's top internet tiers. A very, very small fraction of our customer base ultimately chooses those options." Yeah, because it's so doggone expensive. So she basically says that there's no consumer demand for gigabit internet. And I basically put online, "Hey, Time Warner, I'll take gigabit. Now I'm paying $100 for 50 down, 3 up. But I've also got four additional internet users here at the house that are doing gaming, watching a couple movies at once, all kinds of interactive stuff online. Everything we do here is digital." And someone says, "Why do you need all that bandwidth? You don't need more bandwidth." Yes, I do. I need a lot more bandwidth. But I'm not willing to pay $1,000 a month for it. Google's charging $70 a month for gig. Time Warner Cable is charging well over 100 with taxes and everything for 50 down and 3 up. Yet they don't feel there's no consumer demand for gigabit internet. How about 100 megs down, 100 megs up? No. How about 75 megs down, 75 megs up? Oh, I'll even settle for 50 megs down and 10 megs up. People don't know because they don't know what's capable. And, you know, how many times in your house have you basically said, "Hey, kids, no gaming. We're going to watch Netflix." Or your mom's watching Hulu on your laptop. You can't watch Netflix. Or we're playing Xbox and we can't play Netflix or don't do any other online gaming. Have you said that in your house because you don't have enough bandwidth? My sister, who lives in the country, she's got HughesNet. And, you know, to me, I'm screaming, "Oh, my God, they're paying this huge amount of money." And actually, I got two internet connections. And they've got, you know, four kids at home that are just like used to being on broadband. And they can't get enough bandwidth. They need more. And the other night when it snowed because they're on Wi-Fi, the internet connection wasn't working that good. Or a WiMAX type of connection. So don't tell me, Time Warner, that we don't need. I know what we need. I know what, you know, let's be honest. You may not need a gig, but I guarantee most of you want faster internet, especially if you listen to this show and watch videos and everything else. We don't want to be limited. We want to be able to do what we can do. We want our internet to work. So, this is just another company. Here you got AT&T being greedy. And then you've got Time Warner that says, "We know what our customers want. They don't need 1 gig internet." You know, the only reason, I want to turn into a sailor here for a second. Here in Hawaii, I told you guys for years we've been slow. And then all of a sudden, the local telephone company comes in with cable to compete. And miraculously, overnight, I'm not kidding you, within 2 or 3 days of them starting to canvass the area, which our area was one of the first turn-on areas, they started coming around canvassing it. Within 2 or 3 days, I get an email, "Oh, and Time Warner Oceanic Cable is proud to announce our next level of internet service. And they basically announced two new tiers mysteriously. Right around the same time, competition started to happen. Now, we've talked about this a lot on this show already, but isn't it time we start telling internet service providers what we want and not what they want? So I encourage you, call your local cable provider. You know, even if you at this point don't want any extra speed, call them until you want it anyway. You know, say, I want this 1 gig. I want what they've got in Kansas City. When are you bringing it to us? You know, they'll try to upsell you if they have a higher bandwidth option. I'll buy it here, you know, even though I have to pay for it, I'll buy it. But I'm telling you, something's got to change with these companies. Not only that, today Apple's erasing iCloud emails. Now, they were doing it against emails that were coming in. They had a phrase that was not probably one that would be in a normal email. So Apple was erasing iCloud emails containing the phrase "barely legal teen." That was being cut and basically deleting. You weren't even seeing it. They were getting rid of spam that way. Not even being put in your spam folder, just being killed. And I don't know if I like companies just killing my emails. I look in my Google spam folder, Gmail folder all the time just because I want to make sure that nothing's gotten over there that wasn't supposed to be. So anyway, I don't know how you feel about that, but if you're using their email service at Apple, be aware that they could be, you know, they could be deleting stuff that's coming in. All right, this next article, I know there's going to be some folks out here that listen that are not going to be happy about this because it's involved experiments on animals. But scientists have been able to link rats' brains together over the internet to transfer sensory information. Now, when I thought about this, I thought, boy, fellas, what's going to happen here in 20 years is when we get married, they're going to put one of these sensors in our brain and there's going to put one of those sensors in our wife's brain and the wife's going to know what we're doing all the time and vice versa. It's going to be kind of weird. But scientists pulled off a real world, what they're calling a rodent scale version of the Vulcan mind meld from Star Trek, linking the brains of pairs of rats together over the internet to allow them to share sensory information and solve problems together in real time without being in the same room or on the same continent. So they've got two rats in two cages. Both of them are basically have a wire that's going in and somewhere linking somewhere in the brain, some sort of a sensor. And basically, they worked with a Brazilian neuroscience institute. And basically, what's going on here is in the experiment designed to test tactile or touch-based information, they've got this information being shared between the two rats. And one's basically sensing what the other one's doing and so forth. And the rats in the encoder were put in front of a hole, while rats in the decoder group were not. Yet about 65% of the tests, the rats in the decoder group were able to accurately judge the hole size from the encoder rat's brain signals. When they did, both sets of rats received a reward. So basically, one was, you know, they used some visual test. It's kind of weird, and they've got a video, but what it shows us is that really what we've got up here in our head, and we got to think about this a little bit. We talk about this internet, brain linking. This has some serious implications down the road. So we've all thought about this old Matrix thing of being jacked in, right? And synchronicity. And people say, well, we'll never achieve synchronicity. Well, let's think about some applications here. What happens if you have a invalid, someone that is basically cannot get out? Maybe they're paralyzed. Maybe they have some sort of a condition. What if that was your wife? and you were able to basically having this this link, this sensory link, be able to share the world with him or her, and be able to communicate if the individual was you're not able to speak real well and all this stuff. There's all kinds of cool things here that there's very big potentials. And, you know, we're not to the point where there's going to be telekinesis or anything like that, but we could get to a point where this digital and this brain data that's going on is computers are smart enough to interpret it. And it's obvious they've got it going on with the rats here. Now, these rats are wired up. They've got this on their head, and it's not like they're just running around with a sensor in. It doesn't look like it's very comfortable for the animals that are being tested. But at the same point, the implications here are pretty incredible. So basically, for now, those researchers are going to use this data to help develop robotic exoskeletons for paralyzed humans. And it's a project called Walk Again. So this is what I'm talking about. This type of data is, you know, might be able to help folks walk that are no longer have a connection with their muscles because of a spinal cord injury. There's all kinds of stuff here that could be done, and it's just a matter of time for them to figure it out. And they've actually been testing these rats for a while. And in the first test, they were basically downloading the data and looking at the sensor information. They were able to determine really kind of what the rat was doing. And that is incredible if you really, really think about it for a little bit. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. Article is over at The Verge. But for me, it just goes to tell you that it may not be that long, folks, before they can jack us in. Now, there's all kinds of business implications here, too. But it's probably 20 years down the road, but only time will tell. Love to hear your feedback. What do you guys think about this? Do you, besides the issue with the testing on the rats, what do you guys think about the whole internet interconnectivity thing where they actually had them wired together via the internet? Kind of an interesting move, yeah. All right, Boeing has offered a plan for the 787s to the Japanese. Boeing on Thursday presented to the Japanese government its plans to address the battery problems on its new Dreamliner, stressing the added protection against possible battery fires and overheating are more than enough to allow its planes back in the air. So they're basically not fixing the batteries, but they're actually going to encase the batteries and provide ventilation and offboarding of fumes and so forth. And they came up with a plan. This does not necessarily fix the actual battery issue, but at least we won't have smoke in the tube. And that's what you call when you've been flying for a while. You think about you're in an aircraft, you're really in a tube. And when there's smoke, there's smoke in the tube, right? My old P3 days, things are getting to me here. But anyway, the Japanese aren't fully convinced. And they want the batteries looked at a little closer, but they do have a way around part of the issue that's going on, at least to protect the aircraft. Sony is boy. In Tokyo, they sold one of their office buildings off for $1.2 billion as part of their restructuring. And they've agreed to sell the Sony City Osaki office building. And that's huge, 111.1 billion yen or 1.2 billion U.S. dollars. So, although it will no longer own the premises, Sony will continue to have at the building for at least 5 years, and they've done a separate lease agreement. So it's kind of interesting. They've sold the building, but they're just leasing the space now. In Japan as well, Japan police 27 foul shares in a nationwide show of force. Of course, we talked about this where last year Japan introduced one of the toughest laws in the world for dealing with online piracy. With little visible action against file sharers, questioned whether legislation would have teeth. But basically, the police nationwide carried out 124 search warrants and arrested 27 people for online infringement. Those that were arrested faced up to 10 years in jail. So they were just going out and peer-to-peering something and downloading it. doors were kicked in and they put some handcuffs on him and said, you're going to jail for basically downloading stuff online. All right, sixth strike is in effect. And most of the internet service providers in the group, AT&T, Verizon, Cablevision, Time Warner, Comcast, have all sent out changes on their terms of service. You probably got an email on this already to your respective companies.com, or you basically where you get email from with them. But ours went over to Comcast and asked them to see what the six strikes really look like. And what they've come up with is some pop-up warnings. And what's going to happen is you're going to be surfing along, and if you are affected, a pop-up window is going to show up on your browser. It's going to say the copyright alert number one is part of the copyright alert system operated by the Center for Copyright Infringement. A copyright owner has sent Comcast a notice claiming your internet service from Comcast was used to copy or share a movie, television program, or song improperly. We've sent an email with more information about this notice to the Comcast.net email address of the primary account holder in your household. Click the button to confirm you received the copyright alert to close it. Please review the frequently asked questions about the copyright alert system at comcast.com/copyright alert to learn more about it. So, and then they show number two, alert number five. They don't show us alert number six or alert number three for some reason, but they go through the details and there's a video about this and how this works. And every company is going to do a little bit different. Step five was basically you have to call. You have a right to appeal, you have to call someone to actually to get your machine unlocked. So that's what Comcast stuff is going to look like. I have the link up obviously up in the show notes for you to review. But, you know, different companies are doing things a little bit different on each one. So, again, Comcast is going to punish BitTorrent clients with a browser hijack. And if any of you have ever traveled to a hotel and had to sign up for their internet service, they do the same thing. They hijack your browser and make you go to a login page. So they're definitely going to be sniffing your connection. Now, Cablevision, they're going to disconnect persistent pirates for 24 hours. Cablevision slash Optimum Online has revealed how it responds to a serial copyright infringer under the six strikes system. The internet provider says it will temporarily disconnect customers from the internet after they have received multiple copyright alerts. The disconnection will last for 24 hours, but will be lifted when the customer calls a Cablevision hotline. So they're going to basically shut you off if you have multiple issues. So this is just a couple of the ways these companies are going to be basically policing what you do on the internet, and in coalition with the RIAA, MPAA, and everyone else that is complaining about peer-to-peer stuff, they are going to basically be watching you. So here's my recommendation. VPN. Become familiar with the term. Learn about the service. VPN. If you want to make sure you stay safe, and if you're using any peer-to-peer software, VPN. Not kidding, folks. A secure VPN connection is really the only way. The only way you're going to be able to, how should I say it, avoid these types of infringement notices. Comcast said that even today, they've already sent out a bevy of first-time alerts. So what I'm looking for is if you get one of these alerts, one of these first-time notifications, please, please, please do a screen capture of it. I'll keep your name innocent. In other words, I won't tell anybody who sent me the email, but I want to hear about the details. I want to hear about your activities with peer-to-peer. If you're downloading stuff off peer-to-peer, which, you know, that's up to you to decide whether or not you want to take that risk. If you're doing that and you get one of these copyright infringement notices, please, please do a screen capture, email me, tell me about your peer-to-peer usage, and you'll be forthright. You know, and I won't say your name. I won't hold no judgment over you. Please, please just send me and say, Todd, I'm downloading peer-to-peer every night, or I'm just doing it once in a while, or my son did it, or my daughter did it. You know, these notices could end up being popping up when your kids are on the internet. And, you know, kids being kids, they're going to be like, ooh, maybe I should close that because maybe I don't want dad to see it. That could end up happening. So make sure you're checking your email accounts with your prospective ISP. I have one. I haven't logged into for years. I don't even know how to get into the stupid thing. So, you know, we're not doing peer-to-peer here, but it just reminded me I better get into that account because they could accuse me wrongly of doing something that I know I'm not and I can't defend myself. So be careful out there, okay? And send me an email if you get one of these notices. Self-driving trucks are being tested in Japan, form a close-knit convoy for fuel savings. As Google and others ramp up their plans to develop self-driving cars, one government-funded corporation in Japan is already making headway with autonomous heavy-duty trucks in order to save fuel. The new Energy and Industrial Technology Development Organization, NEDO, has programmed a convoy of four trucks to drive just 4 meters, 13 feet apart, that cuts down on air resistance, reducing drag and improving fuel efficiency, similar to drafting with a race car. They've been working on this since 2010. The four-car caravan uses one human-driven lead truck and three computer-controlled vehicles following it. And again, the idea of having robotic vehicles automatically X-ray trail makes this is pretty smart because if you think about convoys in the military, you know, these guys are driving fuel or driving stuff in. You know, the insurgents were blowing people up. If you don't have to only put one driver at risk, this would be very, very cool. So, smart. But anyway, they've been testing it very successfully in Japan. I'm telling you, and of course, when we're driving here in Hawaii, it's stop and go. And everyone's cars were computerized. I bet you there would be so little traffic. I bet it would be resolved if computers could manage the, you know, the stop and go and the, you know, the Caterpillar stuff that goes on during heavy traffic. All right, Roku is getting AirPlay-like wireless Miracast. So Roku has teamed up with Broadcom to bring Miracast video mirroring to its video streaming devices. Those of you who have Android devices, many of you have Miracast built in. Again, this technology will allow consumers to stream video and mirror a device desktop directly from their laptop or mobile phone to a Roku device, much in the same way AirPlay allows the mirroring of content from iOS devices on an Apple TV. So this is big news. We'll keep watch out. We'll see what happens here with Roku. Speaking of the Roku 3 is just about ready to go online. Roku accidentally spilled the beans on the Roku 3 via a support site. And so we expect to see this soon, the little stick that's going to be coming. And again, it's going to have a Miracast in it. So look forward to seeing the new Rokus out on the market. Google started using HTML5 and WebM for premium content. Of course, we were putting WebM content up here for a while on Geek News Central. No one was watching the WebM videos, so we stopped doing it. But Google is really very quietly here switched some aspect of its premium content offerings to its open source WebM format. Again, Google's WebM is an actual video format, and it's pretty efficient. So in other words, they lower the bandwidth cost and get the same quality of streaming. All right, switching gears here. How many of you have had a teacher or professor that said, don't use Wikipedia? And when I was going to college, it was very clear in the curriculum, do not use Wikipedia. But the Pew Research Center Internet and American Life Project surveyed 2,462 of America's middle and high school teachers last year about the impact of digital technologies in their classrooms. The study found that 76% of teachers strongly agree that search engines have conditioned students to expect to find information quickly and easily and equate research with Googling, they say, while 71% agree that the digital technologies discourage students from finding and using a wide range of sources for their research. Yet, 87%, now check this out, 87% of the teachers surveyed used Wikipedia, compared to 53% of U.S. adult internet users. More than 80% of the teachers surveyed say that they use the internet tool to get material, help them create lesson plans, and find content that will engage your students. And virtually all of the teachers surveyed, 99% say they use search engines to find information online. All right, they're getting their information from Wikipedia. They're getting it online. They're not teaching. They're doing the same doggone thing kids are doing. So a similar study released by Pew last fall found that while most teachers said digital search tools had a most positive impact on their students' work, 87% felt that the same tools are creating an easily distracted generation with short attention spans. Bunch of hypocrites. Oh, you can't use Wikipedia. Yet this huge percentage is. Bunch of hypocrites. I swear. You have to vet anything. Don't get me wrong. But I just think it's so funny. Oh, my daughter said, we've been told we can't use Wikipedia. I bet you the teacher's not using Wikipedia either. All right, Game of Thrones director says, I'm 100% opposed to privacy. Game of Thrones director said, I'm 100% opposed to the piracy. I just said it helps my show survive. So, Game of Thrones director David Petraka basically said last year that the show was on track to become the most pirated television show of 2012 and how the success of the show might actually be a result of piracy rather than its cause. So, basically, he is kind of retracted and said, oh, no, I don't believe in piracy, but yet it helped the show because people were talking about it. He said that HBO had 26 million subscribers in the U.S. and 60 million worldwide, which meant there was plenty of money filtering in and allowing the channel to produce high-quality content despite any illegal downloading. So, kind of a tongue-in-cheek type of comment. But one thing's for sure, Game of Thrones definitely probably was impacted positively by piracy. All right. There's been the Mobile World Congress that's been going on here this past week. And, of course, Mobile World Congress is a big trade show for mobile devices. It's just wrapped up. And it's obviously become the go-to place for mobile device makers to announce their new products, even though Android developers Samsung and HTC decided to do their big announcement outside of MWC. But for the tech press, it's really kind of one of the big shows of the year. So anyway, news.com, yes, part of CNET, had awarded Ubuntu Touch as best of show for the MWC. Many people were wondering, what was the product that CBS banned the folks from covering at MWC? So, you know, once the well has been tainted, it's very difficult to trust a company's reviews ever again. And so this is the first test for CNET to see if they've been, quote unquote, can be trustworthy in giving their reviews. Of course, we didn't have a list of all the companies that CBS is suing at MWC. So we really, there was no oranges to apples or oranges, apples to apples type of comparison. Now, the Vatican did something interesting today. Of course, today was the day that the Pope resigned, and he is going to go off and go into a retreat or whatever they call it, where he's not a convent or whatever it may be. But, he was the first Pope to have a Twitter account. He had 1.6 million followers. And Basically, they removed every tweet from his account. And it's pretty bizarre that they deleted the entire historical record of this one pope's tweets. And there wasn't a lot of tweets that he had made. But people were kind of scratching their head. Now, the Vatican did set up an archive of his tweets on their own website, but it doesn't explain why they erased the original. So anyway, they will have a new pope here probably another week or two. But it'll be interesting to see if the new pope embraces social media and starts his own Twitter account. One thing is for sure, they definitely deleted every tweet off the pope's Twitter account today, which is just kind of odd. But I wonder if they got assistance from Twitter with that. Have you heard about this mission to Mars? Dennis Tito's 2018 mission to Mars. Millionaire Dennis Tito is planning a private mission to Mars in 2018. Details weren't really readily available, but there's been some new information come out. He has created the Inspiration Mars Foundation to raise funds for a dramatic mission to fly humans to Mars. He wants a husband and wife, or a male and a female, that can get along together. In other words, a little bit of action is probably going to be happening on the way to Mars and back. So they've got a 501-day round-trip mission. So you're going to hope that the two people that are flying together are going to like each other and like each other's company. You know, 501, let's be straight up. Imagine the person. Married fellas, imagine being locked up in a room probably smaller than 10 by 10 with your wife for 501 days straight, 24 hours a day, no place to go off and have a little privacy, 501 days together. Would you make it ripping each other's hair out? Do you really think a man and a woman can go 501 days together making a trip to Mars and back without killing each other? I don't know if that's possible. First of all, I think it'd be hard to have two men or two females by themselves go that long without hurting each other. Because you can learn a lot about a person in 501 days. I mean, you can learn a lot. You're going to learn more than you probably really ever care to. I guess it'll be one of those things, what goes to Mars stays on Mars. But anyway, I don't know, 501 days. I love my wife, but being locked up with her in the same room for 501 days straight, that would be pushing it. some cool stuff going on here over at Ars. And actually, it's not cool. This was an unfortunate incident. On Saturday, February 23rd at 7:28 a.m., the Cambridge Police Department met face-to-face with our nation's growing nightmare. A call came in. A potential shooter loomed on the nearby MIT campus. Someone had a really big gun and armor and was getting out of control. So, of course, they launched SWAT and about every police officer in the town. And it turns out that this was what they're calling swatting. Someone was basically able to call 911 and make a fake call. Now, I hope that person covered their tracks well, because the FBI and Secret Service have been called in on the matter. And the MIT employee that was identified was thoroughly cleared. But there was basically a little bit of a gamesmanship going on by somebody that was basically calling in a fake police report. And sadly, what they have identified is that there may have been some link to Aaron Swartz's death in this, and in the way it was implemented, in the way the scenario went down. So pretty crazy stuff, you know, calling police officers out to make him go across town. You know, usually this is followed up by someone robbing a bank on the other side of the town and getting away with it because all police officers are responding to the other emergency. So, but anyway, a bad situation that was faked, thankfully. But still, I'm sure someone's going to end up in jail over this one. They'll track this down. Bitcoin. I'm not a big believer in Bitcoin. I think it's a big scam. But Bitcoin has reached an all-time trading high of over $33 per Bitcoin. And, of course, it was as low as $3 here in June of 2011 when the Bitcoin market crashed. It's been, you know, let's be straight up. It's been gaining some legitimacy in the marketplace with groups like the Internet Archive and WordPress accepting donations and payment in the currency. Folks are even still doing services and trade for Bitcoin. But any business that started like this, you have to look at the motives. One Bitcoin-based site took in $500,000 in profit in just 6 months of 2012. And, of course, Bitcoin gambling is set to get even bigger for now gambling with the cryptocurrency, like using Bitcoins, it generally remains in a legal gray area. So we'll see what happens with this. But, you know, anyone that makes $500,000 on setting up a Bitcoin exchange sounds like someone's working some easy money there for sure. All right, Google's Whitespace database goes live in the test next week. So they built a database of all the whitespace across the country. Of course, 2 years ago, Google was one of 10 entities selected by the FCC to operate a whitespace database. Google's database is finally about ready to go. And the company will begin a 45-day trial allowing the database to be tested by the public. Of course, whitespace technology allows unused TV spectrum to be repurposed for wireless internet networks. The company Spectrum Bridge and Telecordia have already completed their tests and have started operating. Google's is the third to reach the stage. The databases are necessary to ensure that wireless internet networks use only empty spectrum and thus does not interfere with TV broadcasts. So we'll see how this goes. I'm looking forward to getting my hands and looking at this database a little bit. All right, Kazoo. Kazoo has turned any old iPhone into a 24/7 webcam. So basically, once you download Kazoo, setting up a video stream takes less than a minute. So you can use an old camera, stick it out the window, and basically stream 24/7. Connect it to your Wi-Fi. It'll show the outside of your house. It'll show lines. And basically, they're using it to look at crowdsourcing and where people are congregated and where you can get an idea if a park is busy or if a beach is, you know, too many people or whatever it may be. And these are basically, this is the model behind Kazoo, K-O-O-Z-O-O. Federated Media CEO Deanna Brown stepped down. Company founder John Battelle has assumed leadership. So change over there. And not a lot of details, but I know she had a very successful run, so she's probably off to something else. The folks over at MapQuest have continued its evolution by introducing free travel blogs. This is kind of interesting. If you use MapQuest to book a trip or something, you can actually get a free trip blog to be able to report about it, and you send pictures up. You can post stuff about your adventures. You can it automatically maps out the area that you're going to be. So you can share this blog with your friends and family as you travel. So instead of putting it on your own website, you can put it on MapQuest. And basically, they're building up a big database of travel entries. If you're using Pandora, the free Pandora, Pandora's capped monthly free minutes to about 40 hours. So you're basically going to be a bit limited here. So if you're addicted, you may have to get your checkbook out or your wallet out and actually pay for that Pandora service like I do. Android 4.2 is running on the Chromebook Pixel. You guys hear that? Yes, Android 4.2 is running on the Chromebook Pixel and other laptops. So when Google announced the Chromebook Pixel with high-resolution touchscreen last week, there was something missing. You know, and folks thought that people would really benefit if the device would run Android apps, which are already really touch-optimized. So basically, the software solution is called Android x86, and you can run that and basically run Android right on your Chromebook. So pretty cool stuff here. It's a little bit of a bootloader. It bypasses the normal Chromebook function. CEO Andrew Mason is out at Groupon. Not surprising that that company's been going down in flames, but he is out. And I wonder if he got to take some of his cash with him or not. Right, writers. I surprised them, and I have to make a comment here. My team of writers at Geek News Central, and I should have said this earlier, have done an incredible job posting all the stuff that we put up at CES. I think they're up to 240 articles, and it really was a huge load of stuff. And I know they're sick and tired of posting articles from CES, and this is one of the challenges when you're, you know, you have a small staff and you have a lot of content, but they've gotten a whole bunch up, and there's more there for you to review. The Behringer iStudio today has gotten an incredible amount of traffic. Behringer showed off the iStudio, and they've added a version that works with the iPad 5's Lightning connector. This is audio interface with which the iPad docks into, and it's pretty cool. So the iStudio is not inexpensive. With the traditional connectors, $199. The 9-pin Lightning connector will be available in quarter two, and will also sell for $199. But this is a cool product from Behringer for people creating content, doing audio recording, and so forth. Also, IO mounts, new IO stand. You know, I saw lots of this kind of stuff. It's cool now that you can basically put your, you know, mount your iPad or your phone in multiple locations. So basically, IO mount introduced a system for mounting and displaying your device, either tablet or, and they've called it the iStand. And it's available for about $100. It's available in black, white, powder coat. And so basically, you just sit this somewhere, and it's easier to look at your iPad from a stable, basically, mounting platform. And finally, one of the cool things that came out at CES was the Blue microphone has introduced the Nessie. And, you know, Blue microphones, or Blue Mic as the company is frequently called, makes some of the really most popular microphones for broadcasters. I've got a Blue here at I'm using in my position here at tonight and putting the show together. But the Nessie is a USB mic. It's going to retail for $99 and will be available this spring. This is a good one. And the Nessie comes with a built-in pop filter and can be used in voice or instrument modes, or even raw mode if you prefer to do your own processing. Has a headphone jack as well and a built-in volume control. This is a desktop microphone, but it does provide some directional flexibility. So definitely check those three out, plus a lot more that we've got up on Geek News Central. Also, a couple of articles today about Corning having their flexible displays. They say those are still about 3 years out. So people are really excited about this technology and where it could lead. But again, Corning is saying 3 years out. Apple's also done some patent applications where they're looking at different ways to mount the iPad with magnets and so forth. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to review. So let me load up email here real quick and see if we had anything that came in. Let me get that knocked out, and then we're going to get you guys out of here. There was no voicemails that came in. You can always send me a comment, again, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our hotline at 619-342-7365. Got an email here from Jason. He says, I just had a scary idea regarding the new Six Strike policy. We're all familiar with the denial of service attacks. What if the same principle is used in a new way? Distributed violation of copyright. If a virus were to cause infected PCs to unknowingly become part of a copyright violating system, it could trigger a high volume of strikes for the ISP to have to issue to innocent customers, who will then angrily flood the appeal process, all of which has to be costly. Yes, cost you $35 to appeal. Not only that, it would boost the torrent speeds for the actual copyright violators, and such a virus could even be used as an immunization of sorts. Infect your own PC to download copyrighted material, and then use it as your appeal if you get caught. I think they're just going to consider you guilty, Jason. That's what they're going to do. Andrew said, hey, Todd, a while back on GNC, you spoke about the business of farm fishing. This looks much easier and could provide us with our food in the future, just like the Jetsons. And printing food. Yummy. So anyway, thanks to Andrew and Jason. Thanks for sending your emails in. As always, it's been my pleasure to do the show here for you tonight. We definitely want you to send us your comments and feedback. Lots of very interesting conversations here. You know, the rats being wired up. AT&T and their very expensive bandwidth. You know, the list goes on of the stuff we've covered tonight, on really a full gamut of stuff. You know, we started off talking about SpaceX and their launch, and the adaptive glass and AT&T, and they're overcharging. Time Warner not saying we're ready for 1 gig internet. And, of course, the cool stuff going on with YouTube here that we're going to be able to automatically pair. Oh, I don't know if I – did I cover that? Yeah, YouTube's new update on their apps, you're going to be able to pair that with Google TV and use it the same way you do AirPlay. So very, very cool. And, of course, Apple erasing iCloud emails. So the list goes on. Had a lot of great content for you tonight. And, you know, all you got to do is support the show at 6 cents. 6 cents a day. That gets you into $2 for being an insider. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. And again, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting the sponsors. Until next time, my name is Todd Cochran. Aloha. And we'll see you Saturday on Saturday Morning Tech. Bye-bye.